We're going to turn today to Genesis chapter 5, if you would please. We are going to study the life of one man, and you may have guessed already who he is. We read about a man with the same name in chapter 4, but now we come to chapter 5 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 5, and we'll begin reading with verse 9 of Genesis 5. Let us hear the word of the Lord. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Amen. We end our reading at that very unusual 24th verse. Here is a man that did not die. He never died. Two men we know of in the Scriptures who never tasted of death. And I trust the Lord will bless us today as we think of this first of those two men who never died. Enoch was walking with God, and God took him. We read in the New Testament that he was translated. Amazing. May the Lord open the eyes of our understanding today. We're thinking about Enoch. There are four books in the Bible that have in it a little about Enoch. Genesis, and then in the Gospel of Luke, then in the book of Hebrews, in the faith chapter, chapter 11, and in the little epistle of Jude. And we're going to refer to three of these four passages today, because one of them is only the mention of his name in another genealogy, but this is a much fuller revelation regarding Enoch in this genealogy. So we'll just look at this as the Lord helps us today. On Thursday, I had the privilege of going to the funeral of 94-year-old Mr. Tapscott of Hartsell. Another funeral, another cemetery. It's really amazing to me how many times we have been to the funeral home, the funerals, the cemeteries in the last few weeks. Several times I've been there. And you can't go to those places without noticing the different headstones, the monuments, the tombstones, whatever you choose to call them. Well, I find those tombstones very interesting because in this month of January, I have been to so many cemeteries. And I was in December and November. Some of those tombstones are very large and ornate. They're beautiful in their own way. Some of those tombstones are very small and simple and plain. But there are some of those tombstones that really exalt the Lord. Some of them have these little verses of poetry or even verses of Scripture on them. And they're really interesting to look at and read. Well, nearly a month ago, my plane landed in Belfast. It was on January the 1st. And as soon as we left the airport, our dear brother George McConnell, who has been here on several occasions, he drove to a cemetery. The first place we're going to take this American preacher is to a cemetery. Well, I didn't know where we were going. Didn't know it was freezing cold. And I was just, you know, delighted to get off the airplane and go and stand out in the cold with my overcoat on and shiver. Well, we walked through the snow up to this little cemetery in the village of Temple Patrick. And there I had my first look at the grave of Josias Welch, spelled just like the grape juice. Well, Josias Welch was the grandson of the famous Scottish reformer John Knox. So you know then, so many of you know, that Josias Welch was the son of the well-known John Welch. We have spent a lot of time over the years here learning about John Welch and the great things God used him to do. Well, Josias Welch was used of the Lord in Northern Ireland to bring many people to the Savior. And so I spent my 2 weeks there. I didn't go to another cemetery until the last full day I had in Northern Ireland. My old friend, Reverend David Priestley, took me in his car up to the cemetery in Bangor. Now, we have a Bangor in our country, Bangor, Maine. Bangor, Maine is named after Bangor there. Well, we drove into this old cemetery, and there were all these, I mean, super big, lovely old tombstones. But he made my picture beside one of the tombstones. It was the grave of W.P. Nicholson. Nicholson was the Presbyterian evangelist whose preaching God used in times of great revival in the early to mid 20th century. This man was greatly used of the Lord. Well, here we are this morning, practically in a graveyard again, because we read over and over in this chapter the words, "And he died." So we are, as it were, reading among the tombstones, the monuments. But in the midst of these somewhat morbid scenes, there are some bright spots. And one of these bright spots we are looking at today. Some of these men here were greatly blessed of the Lord and used by the Lord. So we're looking at one such man today, Enoch. We're examining the life of Enoch under three headings: Enoch's piety, Enoch's prophecy, and Enoch's perpetuity. Well, that was the only P I could find. I'm a preacher who always likes to have several P's in a pod, you know. And so that was the only one I could find that was even close. But our brother Enoch goes on to perpetuity. He is living perpetually. He never died. So we're going to look first of all at Enoch's piety. Obviously, Enoch was a member of the godly line of Seth, being in this fifth chapter. But even among so many good men and so many believers, Enoch's piety was very unusual and very remarkable. Now, what is his piety? Piety simply means devotion to God or holiness of life. Enoch was a very godly man. He was one who had a very close relationship to the Lord. His relationship to the Lord was so close that we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6, you can read there that he had this testimony that he pleased God. Wow. Isn't that amazing? This man, Enoch, lived in a way so that he pleased God. Isn't that something? It is the Lord Jesus Christ who always did that which was pleasing in the eyes of His Father in heaven. Our brother Enoch could not claim to always have done that. But Enoch came to a point in his life where he really started walking with God. And he lived the rest of his days largely to the pleasing of Almighty God. The very next verse in Hebrews 11, verse 6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You can't please God without faith. So we know that Enoch had faith because he pleased God. Faith that pleases God is defined in that next verse in Hebrews 11. For he that cometh to God, there's something that Enoch did. Enoch was in the habit of coming to God by faith. Coming to God means drawing nigh to God in prayer, in love, in worship. The second thing that describes that faith is the faith that pleases God not only comes to God, but it believes that He is. Do you believe that He is? That He actually exists? Faith that pleases God has an absolute assurance, a settled conviction of God's existence. That He is. That He is the eternal, unchangeable God. That faith not only comes to God and believes that He is, but that faith believes that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He is the God of power. He is infinitely able to reward those who seek Him. He is able to bestow gifts abundantly. He is the one who gives eternal life to all that call upon Him, to all that come to the Father by Him. He is God Almighty, who will always remember and always bless those who diligently seek Him. Now, what does it mean to diligently seek Him? Those who diligently seek Him earnestly. They seek Him regularly. They seek Him zealously. How? Through prayer, through the Word of God, through worship, through fellowship with God. And that's what Enoch did. What was it that caused Enoch to come to that point and to that practice in his life? I believe that the Bible gives us a clue to a turning point in the life of Enoch. If you read here in Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Wow. Methuselah. You see that? A baby boy was born into Enoch's home. When Enoch was 65 years old, they had a little baby boy. And they named that little baby boy Methuselah. And that name means, when he dies, the end comes. The year that Methuselah died, the flood came. How did Enoch know that Methuselah's death would mark the end of the world for all? Except for Noah's family. Enoch was one of God's prophets. Jude, that little epistle of Jude in verse 14 tells us that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. That means he spoke the word of God. He could foretell what God was going to do in the future. Now think about that. Every time that little boy, Methuselah, got sick, the world's doom was staring Enoch right in the face. As he worried and as he wondered if that little boy was going to get better, if that little boy was going to get well, or was the end already here? Oh, what a sobering effect such a reality had on Enoch. And I dare say there has been something like that to happen to many of us over the years. Have you, parents, ever been sobered as you sat there in the night at the side of a child's sick bed? Have you not made your solemn promises to God? If the child would only get better, then Lord, I will live more closely to Thee. I will do better if You'll just heal this child. I dare say that having been there myself on more than one occasion, that such times can melt the hearts even of strong men and cause even the roughest and toughest to pray and to beg God for mercy. There was a turning point in Enoch's life. Little Methuselah. Enoch was impressed with the urgent need to not only get close to God, but to stay close to God. Enoch began right then to occupy himself with spiritual things, with the great matters of eternity. From the time Methuselah was born, the world lost its attraction for Enoch. From that time forward, Enoch walked with God as he had never done before. As a fallen sinner, Enoch began to enjoy daily communion with God, something like Adam and Eve had enjoyed with the Lord in the Garden of Eden before they fell. They were walking with God as unfallen sinners. Now here is a fallen sinner that's walking with God. Understand then, dear parents, whoever you are, parents, grandparents, uncles and aunts, as you look into the faces of these little children, as you look into the face of these precious babies, the best thing that you can possibly do for them is to walk with God yourself. That's the best thing you can do. That is the surest way to see them blessed by God, is through your example and through God's power working in your life. See how blessed Methuselah was by his own father. Just think about Methuselah. He enjoyed a long life. And what did God promise? He promised a long life, especially to those who honored their father and their mother. And in a sense, Methuselah was like Hezekiah, the king of Israel. You remember, God would not send judgment until he was dead and gone. And God would not send the judgment of the flood until Methuselah was dead and gone. Methuselah's 969 years have never been equaled or excelled by anyone. Methuselah's long years show us how patient, how good, how long-suffering God is toward ungodly sinners. Truly, it is the goodness of God that leadeth sinners to repentance. And did not the goodness of God work in Methuselah's life? And wasn't there an influence all the way to Noah and to his family? Think about that. Methuselah is the one who begat Lamech, who was Noah's father. So Methuselah was the grandfather of Noah. And think of the impact that the godly life of the great-grandfather had on Methuselah and then all the way down to Noah and his children, the ones who got on that ark. Well, that's Enoch's piety. Look quickly at Enoch's prophecy. I promise I'm nearly done. The first point is eating up the rest. Enoch's prophecy. In Jude, the little epistle of Jude, the next to the last book in the Bible, right before the Revelation, is Jude. And it's here where we're reading verse 14. Verse 14 of Jude. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Well, isn't that something? How Enoch was preaching against the ungodliness. Enoch lived in very wicked days before the flood. Enoch's father was named Jared, J-A-R-E-D. That's an interesting name. It means rapid descending, which was an apt description of those evil days in which they were living. Rapid spiritual deterioration characterized the human race. In such a time of moral decadence and moral declension, God raised up Enoch as a witness for His almighty glory. In that putrid age of corruption and violence, Enoch was the salt of the earth. He was certainly hated because he would not cover up shame. He would not cover up sin, that of his own peers. He prophesied judgment upon the ungodly for their wickedness, for their ungodly acts, for their foul, God-provoking, ungodly speech. We read there in Jude, the ungodly things which they spoken. Although Enoch's saintly life was not appreciated by most on earth, he was looked on as being an old kook, as so many preachers who would be faithful to God's Word in a day of apostasy are viewed as. Although Enoch's saintly life was not appreciated by most on earth, he was greatly loved in heaven because he pleased God. Enoch was one of those we read of in Hebrews 11, of whom the world was not worthy. So we've seen Enoch's piety and Enoch's prophecy. Now lastly, Enoch's perpetuity. Although Enoch had here no continuing city, he had one in the glory. He had one in heaven waiting on him. I use the word perpetuity because Enoch is now perpetually and forever enjoying doing just what he did on the earth, especially during those last 300 years of his life. What's Enoch doing? He's still walking with God. He's right there doing what he did for the last 300 years of his life. He's still walking with God. And for thousands of years now, he has kept up the perpetuity of that practice. Not only did Enoch enjoy walking with God, the Lord Himself enjoyed walking with Enoch. As they walked together on earth, one day, He didn't let Enoch go back to his earthly cottage. God said, come on, home with me this evening. So God took Enoch home with Him. No one could find Enoch's body because God took him. And we read in Hebrews chapter 11 that God had translated him. He had taken him from earth right up to heaven. Enoch did not die. Like Elijah, he was taken alive into heaven. Enoch had walked so closely to God that he never got close enough to death to even see it. We read in Hebrews 11, Enoch didn't even see death. He didn't get that close to it to even see it. Well, this is a world filled with death, filled with obituaries, funerals, tombstones, and cemeteries. Oh, that God would give us grace like He did to Enoch, so that we will walk closely with Him. As bad as the world is, it's no excuse, because the world was terrible in His day. And I would dare say that in our country right now, things are not as bad as they were in those times in which Enoch lived before the flood. It was very corrupt and evil then. It's very evil now. Well, what excuses can we make up for not walking with God in true piety and holiness as Enoch did? Our children need us to be godly as much as Methuselah needed Enoch to be godly. You parents who have precious little babies, dedicate your lives afresh to the Lord, to walk with Him, to live godly lives, especially for your children's sake, for the glory of God. Enoch's prophecy reminds us that it is possible to live faithfully for Christ, even in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We must be God's witnesses for truth and for righteousness, even though we're surrounded by filthiness and ungodliness in the world. Enoch's perpetuity points out the words of Jesus, "Whosoever believeth in me shall never die." Isn't that wonderful? John 11:26, Jesus said, "Whosoever believeth in me shall never die." I like what the preacher said at the funeral this week. He said, pointing to the coffin, "Mr. Tapscott is not there. He's gone." That's the house he lived in for 94 years. He had asked the Lord to be a Savior. And I can tell you this, whenever this old house is lying in a coffin or wherever, you can say that that preacher is not dead, but like my Savior, I am alive forevermore. I will never know that awful death that's spoken of in the book of the Revelation called the second death. Oh, there will be this point of separation of my soul from my body. But you can rest assured that the words of Jesus are absolutely true. Jesus said, "Whosoever believeth in me shall never die." So I'm not expecting to die. I may leave this body behind, but I'm going to be conscious with my Savior forever. I'm going to be enjoying Him. And I want to learn more and more, like Enoch did, what it is to walk with God. And to walk with Him, not just here, but up there, as the old Negro spiritual said, "When I get to heaven, going to sing and shout. Nobody there is going to turn me out. When I get to heaven, going to put on my shoes, run around glory, and tell all the news." Well, I remind you of the words on the sign out front. "Seek the Lord, and ye shall live." Perhaps you have not yet begun to really live, to walk with God. Begin today to walk with Him, into whose presence death never comes. Walk with Him. In His kingdom, a grave is never dug. You may have neglected Him till now, but God has been merciful because you are yet alive today. God has been patient with you as He was patient with those people all those 969 years of Methuselah's life. In 300 of those years, Enoch was walking with God. Begin today, like Enoch, to walk with God the rest of your days on this earth, and then in heaven. Let's pray. O God, our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the life of Thy servant Enoch. What a wonder that this man was not simply the servant of God, but a son, a child of God, by grace. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt write the truth of Thy holy word on our hearts today. We pray that Thou wilt change our lives, even by the truth of what Thou didst do, even with that man so long ago. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.